Welcome everybody to the Parsha class for Lech Lecha in the year 5766. And we are going to continue our discussion that we started with Bereshis. We are focusing this year on not a particular commentary, but what I am pulling together from all the things that we've learned and studied and trying to make some order and a pathway for us to continue learning about our Jewish lives and our Jewish selves. We have established with the help of the Rambam that throughout the early years of the history of the world, there were only several individuals that recognized the Creator, and they had a special bond with Him. In the words of the Chumash for Noach, they walked with Hashem, which we explained means that they were aware of His presence at all times, and they considered themselves to be literally walking with full cognizance of Him at all times. And this is something very special, but something very rare. Now, Avraham Avinu is described by the Rambam as being separate and apart from even those individuals. Rambam calls Avraham the Amudo Shel Olam, the pillar of the world. Not only did he recognize Hashem and walk with Hashem in his own life, but he went around and he called out to the whole world to recognize Hashem. He did this both when he lived in his hometown, so to speak, in the Babylonia region, and he also continued to do this after he came to Eretz Canaan at Hashem's instructions. Did Hashem tell him to do this? Was this something that he was commanded to do, to be involved in, we might call, outreach? Not really. It seems that Avraham began to do this, as we said, even before Hashem talked to him and told him to do anything. According to the Rambam and the commentator on the side, the Kesef Mishnah, Avraham was, from the time he was a young boy, he had been searching and trying to discover just who runs the world. And it took him until about age 40 until his awareness, his understanding was complete. From that time on, he devoted himself to going around and spreading the truth of Hashem to everyone that he could. He continued to do this for decades because it wasn't until he was 70 or 75, not exactly sure, that this parsha opens up and Hashem comes to Avraham and says, I have some things I want you to do. So apparently this Kiruv movement that Avraham initiated was something that he did on his own. So why did he do it? Why was he compelled to not keep it to himself and to spread it to everyone else? So the first instinct I had, and many of us would have, was because we know that Avraham Avinu was a Baal Chesed. He was a man who exemplified the attribute of kindness. And if it's something that he had, he wanted others to have it too, because he really cared about others. This is, a reasonable assumption. However, I think that we get a little bit of a different reason, also from the Rambam, not in his treatise on Avodah Zarah, which is what we started with, but something very, very interesting that he says in his book of mitzvos. This is something that I heard years ago from Rabbi Weinberg, Zatzal. The Rambam, as we know, enumerated and identified each of the 613 mitzvos, as others did along with him. And he organizes it in a thematic approach. In the positive commandments, commandment number 3 is to love Hashem. Number 1 is to know Hashem. Number 2 is to fear Him. And number 3 is to love Him. And I'm going to quote something very interesting. I'll paraphrase it in my own words. But he says something very interesting about this mitzvah to love Hashem. He says, this mitzvah includes the fact that we should call other people to serve God and to believe in Him. Just as if you like somebody, you like to talk about that person with others, you like to praise them, and you like to encourage other people to like that person as well. Similarly, if you love Hashem in truth, then it wouldn't be enough just to love Him yourself. if you really understand who he is, then there's no question that you're going to want even the fools to know him. You want them to know what you know. And the Rambam goes on to say that this is actually taught by the sages from the verse in the Shema, V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, you shall love Hashem your God. And loving Hashem your God includes making him beloved by others. And the Rambam cites Avram Avinu. He says, look at Avram Avinu. It says, V'asa nefesh asher asu b'choran. That is a pasuk from our parsha, pasuk Hey, the fifth pasuk. And Avram left to go to Canaan with all the souls they made in Haran. And so you see that Avraham didn't just love Hashem for himself, but he made Hashem beloved by others. And that is because Avraham truly loved Hashem, and as an outgrowth of that, as an outpouring, an overflow of love of Hashem, one wants others to love him as well. That's the gist of the Rambam in his Sefer HaMitzvos. What we see from here is a couple of things. Number one, we see the success and the movement that moved Avraham to spread the knowledge of Hashem to others was not something that was an outgrowth of his love of people. He may have been a Baal Chesed, but what drove him to spread his truth to others was because of his love of Hashem. If Hashem is true, if he's really behind everything that affects us, that runs this world, then everyone's got to know that. That was what drove Avraham. It wasn't even something that he did out of duty. It was not something that he was commanded to do. It was something that he did as an outpouring of his love. And I think that explains also what distinguished Avraham from the other individuals that came before him. Noach, as the Rambam lists, Mesushelach and Chanoch, those few individuals that kept the chain going from the time of creation. They may have known Hashem, but Avraham loved Hashem. And it's the love of Hashem that causes one to spread this to others. It's interesting because Larry Goldberg and I were having a little conversation last week, and he wanted to know why Avraham was so successful more than Noah and the others. We looked at it, and Avraham wasn't born into this. This was not something that he was told by his parents. Quite the opposite. His parents were part of the idolatry movement. And the Rambam even says that Avraham grew up and he used to do the idolatry with them. But he broke away from it. And he fought against it. And who knows? Maybe it was the fact that he wasn't born into it. It wasn't a given that this is what you believe in. But it's something that he discovered on his own that gave him such a love for it. Chazal always say that where Baalei Teshuva stand, where those who have returned to God, the level that they achieve is something that even those who are always righteous can't achieve. And so maybe that kind of experience of having to discover something on one's own and to go against what one was taught, that engenders much more than a knowledge, but that engenders a love. And clearly that love was something that became the pillar of the world, which the Rambam speaks. So this is just something I want to mention about who Avraham Avinu was and why he was so powerful. Now, all of this is even before Hashem approaches him and has commanded him anything. And really, everything that we've discussed so far is pretty much pre-Parsha. The question becomes now that when there is an individual like Avraham Avinu who has devoted himself to the knowledge and the love of God, and even to be moved to spread that to others. What does Hashem want of such a person? Hashem comes to Avram in this parsha and he says, Avram, I'd like to give you some instruction. I'd like to send you on a mission. So is the mission just keep on doing this? I want you to go and walk further and spread the message farther. Is this what Hashem asks Avram to do? We would imagine, yeah. What more is there to do? You know the truth. You can tell other people, let's just go and spread the word as far as we can and live happily ever after. Get everybody back to the point where we were supposed to be in Gan Eden, that we would just walk with God. That's not what Hashem has in mind for Avraham. when we read the whole parsha, Lech Lecha, Avram was told to go to a new land, but he wasn't told to speak to people. Basically, the story of this parsha is a story of one ordeal after another in Avram's personal life. And I think that is the key. The key is the word trial or test, or in the Hebrew, nisayon. When we think of Avram, we think of being put to tests. In Pirkei Avos, in the fifth chapter, it mentions that Avram was tested 10 times. Of those 10, there's a few differences of opinion of how to identify the 10. According to the Rambam's list, 6 of those 10 trials appear in Lech Lecha. So it seems to be that a person who has found God, a person who has devoted himself to God and to others, spreading the word, the main occupation of his life is going to be nisayon, is going to be trials and ordeals. This is what God wants from such a person. And we have to really understand, what's the point of that? Didn't he already arrive? Wasn't Avram already perfect? He was already able to influence others. What does he have to go through tests for? And what is the purpose of a nisayon, of a test? Why does that seem to take center stage over and above his outreach efforts? So let's look into the commentators. What is the purpose of a nisayon? And this is something which is a major discussion, but I'd like to just underscore 2 of them. The Ramban, in his commentary to the Chumash, really on next week's Parsha, before the last test, I believe that it's only before the Akedah that the Chumash actually uses the word Nisa, he tested. So there the Ramban explains what is the purpose of a test. And he says, in short, that a test is not for the purpose of God to find out any information, because God knows everything. It's a chance for the individual being tested to rise from what he has a potential for to actualizing indeed. In short, that means for a person to be able to rise to a higher level. This is the purpose of a test. As great as a person is, as much as he has demonstrated in his level of devotion, there are many more levels that one can climb to. And this is the purpose of the Nisayon, according to the Ramban, to take that person, allow him to actualize the potential that he has to go from one level to the next. The Rambam sees in the word test a slightly different purpose, more outward. The word Nisayon also has in it the word Nes, which can mean a banner. It also means a miracle, but a banner. It's something that people can see from afar and it demonstrates something. The Rambam says that the purpose of a Nes is for other people, the rest of mankind, to witness what a person who truly fears God can do. And that serves as an example and an inspiration for others. So apparently what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in mind for a person like Avraham is not just for him to keep repeating his message, but he wants Avraham to rise to further challenges. And in doing so, A, Avraham rises to a higher level, and B, people observe him, and they learn for themselves, what does it mean to walk with God? So this is really the stuff which a person of God is made of. There's the initial acquiring, whether through transmission from a parent or a teacher or an earlier generation, the initial knowledge of God, the Mesorah. There is deepening that into the Avas Hashem, into the love of God, and spreading that over. But almost more important than that is the constant challenge and rising to higher levels, which Hashem guides that person. And it's a special thing between the person and God. God is presenting him with challenges, and those challenges are for his good, to bring him to higher levels, and in doing so, to be an example to others. It's interesting that the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, in his Sefer Mesilas Yesharim, The Path of the Just, in the very first chapter, when he speaks about the purpose of life, he says that ultimately we are going to exult in pure reward and pure enjoyment of connection with God in the world to come, but that the way to achieve that, the way to reach that, is through our involvement in this world. And he says, and I quote, Ki kol inyanei ha'olam, bein letov, bein lemutav, hinei heim nisyonos la'adam. The Ramchal says that all matters of the world, whether they seem good, whether they seem not good, they are all nisyonos for a person. They are all tests. They are all challenges. That is the main stuff of life. The kinds of things that we walk through life and we think of as annoyances or obstacles or things that get in the way, those are really, that's what life is all about. Nisyonos hein la'adam. They are Hashem's trials. And they are to sharpen us, they are to raise us, and they are to raise other people. So that's what we have. Our parsha is the parsha of a man of God going through Nisyonos. What I'd like to do, just in the remaining time, is to take a look at those six Nisyonos, very briefly, just identify what they are. They're all in the parsha. And I would like to make a couple of just observations about these Nisyonos. But I really invite every person to look at each one for themselves and contemplate, what is it about this test that I can identify with? What do I think its purpose is? What are some of the ways in which I've experienced a test such as this? And how can I learn and how can I grow from these tests? I'll make a little observation about each one, but then please, that's your homework, to go home and to think about each of these tests in your own life. Test number one is Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. Go for yourself. Leave your land, leave your relatives, leave your father's house, leave the country, really the society in which you were raised, and go to a strange new place. To me, this Nisayon speaks about sometimes the inevitable challenge of making a break from that which we have grown up with, but that which we see that we need to let go of in order to advance in our own relationship with God. It may be with family, it may be with certain societal norms that we have gotten used to. And walking with God very often requires that we cut those strings, those apron strings, as it were, in order to actualize and deepen our relationship with God. This is certainly a nisayon, it's something which people find difficult and challenging, and yet very often it is a necessary step into actualizing that relationship. The second test, Vayihi Ra'av Ba'aretz. In the first Aliyah, there was a famine in the land. No sooner has Abraham had arrived in this new land, but he was compelled to leave it and to go to another land, Mitzrayim, to go to Egypt. And Rashi says that the purpose of this famine and Avraham's need to leave was Lenasoso im yaharher achar dvarav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This would test him whether he would start to have second thoughts about the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because after all, he told me to go to this land, and now I have to leave? All this effort, all of this trouble for nothing? It doesn't make sense. And this is also a standard type of nisayon, where it seems to be representative of many situations in life in which we find ourselves toiling and troubling ourselves and going through various hoops and obstacles. We don't even understand why, and they seem to be illogical, and we seem to be backtracking. But as Rashi says, this was to test Avraham whether he would still stick with Hashem's words or whether he would start to wonder. This is also a prototype nisayon. But again, each nisayon might mean something different to each person. Number three, when he came to Mitzrayim, he had to deal with the fact that his wife, Sarah, who was very, very beautiful, was seen by the Pharaoh's servants, and they thought that she would make a nice mate for the Pharaoh, and they took her. And now all of a sudden, Abraham had to deal with this. Perhaps, again, this is just my own interpretation, association perhaps, this is the whole nature of dealing with other people in the world, other societies, people that don't have the same moral character that we learn, that we are taught, that we aspire to. And one has to walk with caution and learn how to stay away from such influences, learn how to maintain our own standards of purity and chastity in these areas, realize that it's around us, but that it's something that we have to preserve and protect. Number four, the war with the four kings and the five kings. You know, it's kind of a complicated story. When you start to read it, you kind of get lost in the politics, the four kings against the five kings. All we know is that eventually Avraham's nephew Lot was captured in this big world war, and Avraham had to go and fight in order to get him rescued. One other thing is that Zohar points out, this is mentioned in the art scroll Chumash, that the whole reason why they went to war in the first place was because they wanted to try to get Avraham out into the battlefield. Because Avraham was the world enemy number one. And we know why. Because he had a big mouth and he just wanted everybody in the world to know that his way was the true way and everybody else was going to you know where in a basket. And so nobody liked Avraham. He was target number one. And what this shows us is that very often the Jew, the nation of Israel, is in the middle of world politics and even wars. We just have to accept it. God willing, if we are living up to who we are, who we're supposed to be, it is going to attract the attention of the world. And if we are truly being the good conscience that we should be, it should incite their frustration and even their anger. And what I want to say about all of these nisyonos, that the reason why these nisyonos occur is because we are walking with God. It is certainly not the purpose of the nisayon to have us lessen in any way our attachment with God. Quite the contrary. If Hashem is putting us through these nisyonos in order to raise us to a higher level, in order to show the world how great a person of God is, then although it seems that that got us into the trouble, but we realize that trouble was there because we are strong in our adherence to God, and we should only strengthen it and not, God forbid, weaken it. So that's an important thing. We may be mixed into and mixed up with world politics, but not to forget the reason why that's happening. The reason why that's happening, the reason why the world is focused on the Middle East is because we represent Avraham. And we have to respond like Avraham would respond. Two more. Avraham was not blessed with a child for many years with Sarah, and he had almost given up on having a child. And so he takes Hagar, her maidservant, as a wife to try to have children from her. This was something over the span of many years. Finally, we know that they were blessed with a child. But I think that this may also be a prototype nisayon, which encompasses any area of health and healing, family issues, things which really test us, but should draw us to strengthen ourselves in prayer and in righteous deeds. And this is something which, again, is coming from God with love and something that should allow us both to raise to a higher level and also to be an example and an inspiration for others. Finally, the sixth and the last nisayon in this parsha is the commandment to have the bris milah, to circumcise in his old age. This seems to be somewhat of a climactic nisayon. It ends the parsha just like the Akedah of next week ends that parsha. It seems to be that this is a pinnacle. I'm not sure exactly what it represents, but certainly many things. But to me, it represents the willingness to sacrifice oneself, even with one's blood, for the sake of serving God and for the sake of adhering to the bris, the covenant which we forge with Him. So if you've noticed, what I've tried to do is take a look at the events of the Parsha, and we've identified that they are nisyonos, they are tests. Purpose of a test is to bring us to a higher level. That is the main occupation of someone who's involved with living with God. He can expect this type of nisayon for his entire life. And if he receives them and he accepts them in the spirit in which they were given to him, he is certain to raise himself to a higher level and to inspire others with him. This is what a person who walks with God is supposed to do in life. Remember that the whole challenge here is that after the sin of the tree of knowledge, we became detached from God. we saw ourselves as separate. We lost the awareness of really who we are and who God is. And it's those individual people that brought us back to that realization. But in order to fully fuse the two, to fuse our lives with God, we must go through various challenges and various ordeals to fully break down the barrier. And although it seems that they are hardships, but really by undergoing and weathering these nisyonos, this is going to bring us closer and closer to connect us back up to our source, to truly bond with our Creator. This is what I have seen to be the overriding message of the Parsha of Lech Lecha. Thank you for listening, and I please welcome any questions or comments. Yes. Okay. Your question is, if Abraham was proselytizing, why don't we find other leaders doing the same? You're talking about proselytizing to other nations. We do reach out to our own, but in terms of proselytizing to other nations, we don't find that practiced as much, except in Abraham's time. So the comments I would like to make is that one thing I actually think we covered is that this is what Avram did, not as a commandment, but as an outpouring of his own love of God. If we didn't have any other obligations, if we weren't tested or we weren't given a list of 613 things to do, we would probably do the same thing. But once Hashem starts speaking to Avraham and charging him, we don't see that being the emphasis of Avraham's activities. It's true the Rambam says that he continued to do it, but that's certainly not something that stands out in the Torah. The Torah does not describe Avraham's lectures. He doesn't describe the people that he influenced. Apparently, that's not the main duty of Avraham once Hashem starts giving him commandments. And I think the same thing is true with us. The reason why we don't do that so much is because we have so many duties and so many nisyonos, so many ordeals to deal with in our lives that, quite frankly, we have no time for that. And apparently God knows that this is more productive and more vital that we do, that we fulfill our commandments and that we weather and accept our ordeals. I think that's really the answer. Theoretically, if we were to fulfill all of our obligations and had plenty of time left over, we would do the same thing. But apparently God has given us higher priorities than to do that. But one should naturally want to do it as an outgrowth of Avas Hashem, as the Rambam stated to us. My wife overheard me talking, and she made a good point. She says that as we learned, by living our lives, we end up influencing the whole world. There's a pasuk we alluded to a few weeks ago, that when the nations of the world see us observing our Torah, they look at us and they say, what a wise nation that has a close relationship with God. So the truth is that the most effective proselytization that we could do is just by living a life and following the commandments of God. That would really be the most effective way of influencing the world. Okay. Okay, the question I think is, what was God's purpose in changing Avraham's name from Avram to Avraham? And that extra letter symbolizes that he would now be the father of nations, not just as one land, Aram, but now he would be the father of Hamon Goyim, of multitude of nations. What was Hashem's purpose in doing that? Maybe it's what we just mentioned with Dr. Schultz's question. Maybe Hashem was saying that there is a limit to what a person can do by his own inspiration in terms of affecting other people. Let me ask you this question. When Avram was doing his proselytization, what happened to all those people? It says that he came to Canaan with the Hanefesh Asher Asu B'Haran, which is with the souls that he had acquired in Haran. What happened to those people? Did they stay with Avram throughout his journey? Did they go with him to Egypt? As far as I can tell, they disappear. They may not have stuck with him. They may have said, you know, it was great learning with you when you were in our neighborhood. You know, you were a great guy. We saw you, we watched you growing up. But when you started going off on these safaris, we just didn't want to, you know, stick with it anymore. Maybe Hashem was telling Avram that as much as you have affected other people, but you really haven't begun to make a permanent difference in the world. Now, you are really accepting my covenant. You are making a commitment through the Bris Milah and through the rest of your tests on a level that you've never been before. And even though it seems counterintuitive, it seems that you're going to turn people off. It seems that Avram was afraid of that himself. He went to seek advice from his friends. He had three friends who used to advise him, and he said, if I go and circumcise myself, all the people that admired me are going to think that I became a madman, and I became barbaric. And they said, but that's what God wants you to do, and God knows best. So Hashem was, I think, telling Avraham that counterintuitively, you are going to begin to be the father of all nations by accepting upon yourself these commandments, by accepting upon yourself these tests. A Jew has to first and foremost see himself as following the sacred commandments of God, and not to make his own cheshbon about what he thinks will make people more like him and what people will like to see and what will inspire others. That's something which is temporary and is not going to really make the difference. Hashem is leading us, we follow him, and whatever he says, we have faith, that is what's going to bring about the ultimate enlightenment for the world. Okay, good Shabbos, everybody.